Today's podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm BOGO offer. For 1 week only, buy one, get one. To order, go to EdenPureDeals.com and put in code HOWIEBOGO.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
The Millennial with the Mic is the most listened to midday show in Boston.
We got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, the Spectator, and the Daily Mail. Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Get ready, pal.
It's Boston's number one midday show, The Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. All right, I've been teasing this all day. I'm very excited to have Ben Weingarten on the show again. He has a piece out in Newsweek titled, Hunter Biden Laptop Scandal is the Ultimate American Information Operation. Ben, thanks so much for joining the program.
Grace, thanks so much for having me. Really appreciate it.
Ben, you talk about how there's so many layers to this scandal that are worth kind of recounting and reminding people because they really do show a rot at the core of our country that you think is going to fester and is going to really surprise people eventually. Can we kind of break down the layers of this scandal?
Sure. I think that this is the ultimate in corrupt American collusion, masquerading as a defense against a Russian information operation. You have the national security and intelligence apparatus, in effect, working with the corporate media, working with big tech to suppress the Hunter Biden laptop story, and then claim that it's Russian disinformation. And they do this, of course, they work hand in hand. The deep state or the administrative state, the corporate media and big tech work hand in hand on a whole slew of issues. I mean, we've seen this playbook run, for example, with respect to all manner of issues relating to the Chinese coronavirus pandemic. Obviously, now we even get to the radical gender ideology where you get banned for referring to a person by their sex. Fact checkers have run wild, which big tech uses to justify its censorship or suppression of competing narratives, which oftentimes end up being true. But this was sort of the crown jewel of rotten collusion in the American system, because here you had the senior most members of the intelligence community signing off on a letter saying that Hunter Biden's laptop appeared to be, had all the signs of a Russian information operation, Russian disinformation. You had a corporate media which immediately dismissed it and ran with the claim that these former CIA officials, with all of their credibility, claim that it was Russian disinformation, which is not exactly actually what the letter they all signed on to said. And then, of course, you had big tech literally banning the New York Post and then dozens, probably hundreds, if not thousands of people from even sharing the New York Post reportage, which, of course, has now been vindicated, not that they needed it, by the doyens of media, the New York Times. And today, of course, just several hours ago, the Washington Post and even CNN now talking about how the Hunter Biden investigation is heating up. So 17 months later and 24 paragraphs into a New York Times piece, which buries the lead, they admit that actually the content of Hunter Biden's laptop is not Russian disinformation. It is real, but there was a conspiracy of silence and suppression by our betters in the intelligence community, in corporate media, in big tech, to suppress that narrative, put forth their favorite narrative. And at least one poll out there shows that that alone may have swung the election, that if Democrat voters, particularly in the swing states, had been aware of this story, had it not been suppressed in the ultimate in election interference, they might have voted against Joe Biden, and we might have a different president in the White House today.
Ben Weingarten, there are so many lines in this piece that stuck out to me, but I want to read just a part of it. You say, those who benefit most from the First Amendment have too often become the most outspoken proponents of censorship, particularly when it serves their political agenda. These conspirators cared nothing for combating disinformation. Far from it, they are some of its most prolific purveyors. And then there's a line here that I love. You say, they obfuscated in service of a candidacy that would predictably result in disaster for America, liberty, and justice. And you go on to talk about how they really wanted to, it was an imperative to unseat a president whose agenda they didn't agree with. What was it about Trump? What do you think was his greatest sin that all of these people in the media and in these intelligence communities hated so much that they needed to stoop this low to get him out?
Yeah, well, and first it's worth noting that the most vicious assaults against Trump came from the national security and intelligence apparatus. And of course, if you go back, and I'm sure your listeners recall this, and certainly you do, Chuck Schumer said that the intelligence community can get you six ways from Sunday if you go after them. That alone should disturb everyone in America, that we're talking about our intelligence apparatus that way, as if they have more power than our elected representatives, than the commander-in-chief. But of course, it has played out to some extent that way because it was that very deep state that hammered Trump in a whole series of ways, obviously in impeachment 1.0. But even at the very start of his administration and during the transition even, let's not forget who was the biggest initial domino to fall after, I guess you could say, Paul Manafort in Trump world. They went after Mike Flynn first. Why did they go after Mike Flynn first? Someone who himself worked his way up to the top rungs of the military and then intelligence apparatus, serving as the chief of the DIA, the Defense Intelligence Agency. Why did they have to go after Flynn first? Because Flynn was going to call for a review of the entire intelligence community and potentially substantial reforms that would have both taken away potentially powers that it would have abused, that might have itself unraveled the unfolding Russiagate collusion conspiracy trap that was being set, and also which would have effectuated a massive sea change in policy towards an America First national interest oriented policy in our national security, foreign policy, and intelligence apparatus. So I think that both on a symbolic and a substantive level, that Flynn was the first person viewed as the ultimate traitor to the intelligence community for going against Hillary Clinton, and even before that, of course, attacking Barack Obama's policies with respect to ISIS and the global jihadist movement, he became persona non grata, and he had to be taken out because he was viewed as a threat, because he would know where the bodies were buried, and maybe his gravest sin of all was in his exposure in Afghanistan of the corruption and the failure that existed in the U.S. effort there for decades. So I think Flynn personified the Trump worldview, the Trump agenda that would have put a whole lot of people in the national security and intelligence apparatus out of power. And so he had to go. And of course, Trump had to go. And you saw that the greatest resistance of all to Trump occurred in the national security, intelligence, foreign policy apparatus. And I think that was absolutely by design. That was no mistake. And the broader hatred of Trump was not about the way that he spoke or that he was in politics or what he did in his personal life. It was that he threatened the power and privilege of our betters, of the ruling class in Washington, D.C., and in newsrooms on the coast and corporate boardrooms and beyond. That's what they really loathed. He threatened their power and privilege.
Yeah, and let's talk a little bit, though, about why now, because you get into that later in this piece. And I just want to remind everyone, I'm speaking with Ben Weingarten, and this is from Newsweek. It's truly an excellent piece here. And you say there's still more intrigue to this story. Why did the New York Times feel compelled to admit it only now? That was my first question as well, Ben. I've seen a lot of people kind of float ideas. Tell us what your idea is.
Yeah, so there are a few potential scenarios here, and I have no great insight into the inner workings of the minds of the editors at the New York Times or the Biden administration that they work with, or the big tech enforcement apparatus that they both kind of work mutually with. But obviously, the Occam's razor explanation for why now, suddenly why is the Hunter Biden laptop, why are we allowed to acknowledge, admit that it is real, it's not Russian information operation? The obvious answer is, clearly this was going to be fleshed out in whatever prosecution Hunter Biden may ultimately face. There are reports from publications as broad as the New York Times to the Wall Street Journal to now even CNN, the Washington Post, indicating that this investigation, which has been going on now for almost 4 years, for God's sake, which is remarkable, this investigation is now suddenly heating up, that it may involve not just the tax charges, which were, you know, sort of the original headline of this investigation, but Foreign Agent Registration Act violations, FARA violations, and potentially even money laundering. And this, of course, all involves Hunter Biden's dealings with all manner of adversarial regimes, corrupted entities, entity is tied to individuals who obviously do not have America's best interest at heart. So I think part of this may be getting ahead of the fact that maybe this prosecution is really about to ramp up, and maybe Hunter Biden will be slapped with certain charges. You know, the more conspiratorial look, and my friend Roger Kimball has written about this at length, is that this is something of an insurance policy against Joe Biden. And you know, maybe the incompetence, the disaster that his, and not just incompetence, the corruption, the wokeness, the disaster of the Biden presidency in every respect, not even 2 years in, maybe this is a way to ultimately force him out if need be. So those would be two potential explanations for it. But I wouldn't pretend to be able to get into the minds of the people who craft all of these various strategies and machinations around the corruption in Washington, D.C. that Joe Biden has personified for his 50 years there.
Yeah, and Ben, we've heard so much about Russian disinformation. In this piece, you really do highlight a lot of American information operations, not just with the Hunter Biden story, but you know, we've seen several bits of fake news that were meant to push a certain narrative. And a question that you bring up, which kind of reminds me of, you know, when you catch someone in a crime, it's very rarely the first time they've committed that crime. It's just the first time they got caught. In this case, you wonder, you know, have there been other gambits like this that we just didn't know about? And I think even more importantly, what are they willing to do? What is the left willing to do in the future to prevent a candidate that they don't want?
Yeah, well, look, I mean, we only know probably just the tip of the iceberg around the origins of Russiagate and then all of the crimes, or at very worst, the appearance of, at very best, the appearance of crimes when it comes to perpetrating a fraud on the FISA court, for example, or an official doctoring an email to hide information about Carter Page that would sort of vindicate Carter Page and prove that he actually isn't working for the Russians, which is used to then spy on Carter Page as a way to spy on the entire Trump campaign. We know, of course, now based on the Durham special counsel, that there were private actors as well who were accessing information, White House information, emails, traffic, and the like during, it appears, the Trump transition. So we know just the tip of the iceberg, and remember how hard they have fought. They fought tooth and nail. Remember that infamous, the Devin Nunes memo, you know, which exposed some of the corruption and the conspiracy that occurred to go after Trump with Russiagate collusion. And these are just the tips of the iceberg, and you see how you have to fight tooth and nail. And if you're a politician like Devin Nunes, who of course is now out of office, how much you get destroyed if you dare to try to pursue any of these leads, I think it's almost guaranteed that there must be far more deep, corrupt, and manifest corruption. And just look at where we are today. Obviously, you have a party in the Democrat Party that would like to lock Donald Trump up. They would like to make Justice Clarence Thomas recuse himself from all manner of cases, if not impeach him. There's a gambit to try to disqualify Republican candidates, people who are currently serving in the House in 2022 on grounds that they supported an insurrection. And then you have an even smaller effort, but an equally disturbing effort, maybe, to crush any lawyer who represented Trump in election lawsuits in 2020. All of those things point to a level of maliciousness, of contempt, and a willingness to use every possible lever of power to crush political opposition, political dissent. And so I think it's almost guaranteed, given what we know about the system, and then given the hatred that's clear, the animus that's clear, that there must be far worse that we will never find out about, probably. And that ought to really disturb the American people. And reform of the intelligence community and the law enforcement apparatus ought to be item number one on an agenda of a next Republican president. But furthermore, there have to be real teeth. There has to be real punishment and accountability for those who do abuse these laws, or we're guaranteed for far worse. And right now, it does appear that we're guaranteed for far worse, because what percentage of the Republican Party, and forget about Democrats on this, are stepping up and doing and saying anything about the pervasive civil liberties abuses that we're seeing unfold in this country today?
Ben Weingarten, excellent, excellent work. Thank you for coming on the show. Real quick, give people your Twitter handle so they can follow all your work.
Yep, you can follow me on Twitter at BH Weingarten and at Substack at weingarten.substack.com. Thanks so much. Grace.
Excellent job, Ben. Thanks for coming on. Hope to have you on again soon. We'll be right back with your calls. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Hi, it's Toby from Cape Gunworks. I'm taking all your firearm and self-defense questions every Tuesday. Join Grace and me for 2A Tuesday, Tuesdays at 2 p.m.
Grace Curley. She's working for you.
I'm like Bette Midler in For the Boys. Gotta keep the troops entertained.
Today's poll question is brought to you by Kennedy Carpet. Kennedy Carpet is growing and hiring for many positions, including installers, carpet cleaners, water damage technicians, warehouse and salespeople. Kennedy Carpet offers full benefits and more. Find out all they have to offer by calling 1-888-KENNEDY. That's 1-888-KENNEDY. Jared, what's the poll question and what are the results thus far?
If the Republicans take over Congress in November, which investigation would you be the most excited to see? Hunter, Fauci, or January 6th?
I would be interested to see January 6th because I do think there's a lot of questions that we're not getting answers to. I mean, we're getting answers to the questions that don't really matter. But, you know, as far as what did Nancy Pelosi know? Why didn't she allow for more security to be there? Those are the questions I have. So I'm interested in all of them. But, you know, if you have to pick one, it's got to be the treasure trove that is the laptop from hell, a.k.a. Hunter. What's his middle name? Do we even know? Danger?
I believe it's Hunter Joseph Biden.
Hunter Robinette Biden. I'm going to choose Hunter.
Hunter in the lead at 52%, 32% for Fauci, 16% for January 6th.
All righty. Derek, you're next up on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Derek.
Good afternoon, Grace. I'd like to comment on the Michelle Wu being the mayor.
Yes.
And it doesn't seem like it's going all that well. She's stepping in it quite a bit. And I'm thinking the best way to end this is to get to the people that voted for her and say, is this really what you expected? And maybe they'll change their votes next time around.
Yeah, if only it were that simple. I mean, because then you could really use that. I feel like you could use that same tactic with Joe Biden voters. I mean, I see people with the Joe Biden bumper sticker on their car.
I saw one today.
I mean, don't you just want to pull up next to them and go, hey, how's it working out? Is this what you wanted? You know, it's like that old song, if it makes you happy, then it can't be that bad. If it makes you happy, then why are you so sad?
Hunter Biden's name is...
Oh, tell me.
Robert Hunter Biden. So Hunter is his middle name. His actual name is Robert Biden, but he goes by Hunter.
The more you know.
Yeah.
By the way, I want to remind everyone, go to gracecurlyshow.com, click on store to get your Ginger Betty's Grace's goodies. You'll get an Easter basket worth $50. You're getting it for just $25. I'll hold it up. It's really beautiful. Jared.
I just had one of the brownies with the jelly beans and the peep on top of it. It was an Easter festival. And it was glorious.
That is a sugar rush.
It was quite.
I would buy so many of these if we were allowed to, but we cannot. We have to save them for the customers out there.
It's really all you need for Easter.
Yeah, especially if you have a niece, nephew, grandkid. You know, you just want to get one for a friend. This is a really fun, creative way to show someone you're thinking of them. When we get back, I want to talk about Chris Rock and Will Smith. Not because, don't worry. Not because we're rehashing it, but because it blows my mind how when a situation unfolds like this, it's always the people who have no business judging that throw in their two cents. Yes, this is a teaser for some O.J. Simpson sound. Don't go anywhere. It's the Grace Curley Show.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. Once again, those Grace's goodies. I don't even want to tweet it out because I'm afraid they're going to go. They're all going to be gone. But go to gracecurlyshow.com. Click on store for the Grace's goodies. They're a Ginger Betty Easter basket. So adorable, so thoughtful, and you're getting it for half off. They're originally $50. You're getting a lot of products. Jared just ate like three of them combined into one. Delicious stuff. But you're getting it for $25. You really can't beat this deal. And all you have to do is go to gracecurlyshow.com and act now, because we're already like halfway through the supply here, and they're going to go fast.
Yeah, the basket, it's got jelly beans, it's got peeps, it's got obviously gingerbread cookies that are iced, it's got macaroons, it's got cookies. This is every type of food you need for Easter right here.
Yes, this is every type of food you need for life. I don't know why you'd need anything else.
Well, there's no pizza, but...
All right, now, there's something I want to talk about here, and this is the Will Smith, Chris Rock, Jada Pinkett Smith incident, depending on who you ask. Or is it staged? I don't know. The reason I bring this up is not to rehash the slap heard around the world, but because I was pretty amazed yesterday that Alec Baldwin weighed in and he said this was like Jerry Springer.
The source.
I mean, the guy who is a world-renowned hothead decides, I'm going to give my two cents on this. I feel like people should listen to me on this topic. But it gets even stranger. Like, I don't know what happens with celebrities where an event occurs and they all feel like, I absolutely 100% need to make my opinion heard on this. Everyone needs to know where I stand. OJ Simpson.
Damn! Jeffrey Toobin?
Like, is it me? Have I lost my mind? Did he say, hold my beer, Alec Baldwin? I'm going to give them a run for their money. OJ Simpson is weighing in on Will Smith slapping Chris Rock across the face. This is cut 35.
The question I've been getting is Will Smith and Chris Rock. Hey, look, it was unfortunate. I think Will was wrong. Look, I understood the feeling. Now,
you don't say.
In my life, I've been through a lot of crap, and I was raising two young kids, and every comedian in the country had an OJ routine, and don't think I wouldn't want to be slapped a couple of those guys, but you got to accept it's humor.
Again, you don't say.
I believe he would be prone to that type of violence.
You think he'd be angry at those comedians? Wow, we're getting some insight into the mind of OJ.
You saw how mad he was at a waiter. Can you imagine?
I love how he's like, I can relate to this. I've been known to be angry. Yeah, we know that, allegedly. We do. We could never prove it. We could never prove it, but we could kind of, you know, we really could. Is there more to that?
No, that was the begin. It was a longer cut, but that was the relevant stuff. The other stuff he talked about was just OJ waxing Kamala, shall we say.
I have to say, and we'll get to Kamala in a second. I have my two cents on that. He talks to the camera like he's an influencer who's been asked about his skincare routine. Like, I'm getting a lot of questions about the whole Will Smith thing. You are? Like, who are these people? That's who I'm most concerned about. Who are the people who they see this go down, okay? And their immediate reaction is, I should send OJ Simpson my question for him on this. I need his moral guidance. I need to know where he stands. By the way, Will Smith, when you've lost OJ Simpson, when OJ Simpson is looking down on you for your behavior, might be time to self-reflect. Might be time to self-reflect. But I am glad you brought up Kamala Harris, Jared, for a couple of reasons. I don't get what this cut is. I do want to play it because it involves my favorite person in the White House. That would be Doug. Doug, for me, is like this unsung hero. He puts up with so much crap. I mean, the frustration this man must feel.
Doug.
All Doug asked, he had one simple request when he came into the White House: call me Douglas. And that has proven to be very difficult for the White House, mostly because Joe Biden is part of the White House. And he's been called other things. What did he call? One time he didn't call him Douglas. He called him like Doug Grass or something. Or he does these weird like combination names.
I believe
names.
It was Douglas.
Douglas. Thank you. Yes, Douglas. How could I forget? Doug just doesn't get any respect from anyone. And there was a meeting where Biden asked cabinet members to stand.
Yeah, this was yesterday at the signing of the Emmett Till anti-lynching bill into law.
And Kamala Harris interrupted him. to talk about Doug. It's not like he made a disparaging joke about Doug, you know, at the stage on the at the Oscars. You know, this is, he asked members of the cabinet to stand. I got to hear this. I just can't believe that this is real. This is cut 15.
All the cabinet members, please stand. Thank you.
And the second gentleman of the United States.
And the second gentleman of the United States of America. Who, like me, married way up.
She had to throw that in. I'm starting to feel like there's tension. And by the way, this comes on the heels of the stories that Kamala Harris would be very perturbed when people wouldn't stand up for her when she'd enter the room. I mean, if we had a glass jaw competition in D.C. right now, I don't know who would win because everyone is so thin-skinned. Keep in mind, they have big fish to fry. You know when you complain about something? Like, if you're at a company and it's the day where everything's going wrong and there's big, big fires to put out, would you go up to the CEO and be like, hey, I don't want to make a big deal out of this, but someone forgot to clean out the microwave again, and it's really starting to bother me. Like, no, you put that aside. We have bigger things to worry about, Phyllis. We'll worry about the microwave tomorrow. But these people, they can't prioritize. It's like, mention Doug. Don't forget Doug. Doug's important too. And Doug's like, yeah, thank you, Kamala. Thank you. I deserve some respect. I'm pulling my weight here. This is just, it's such a joke. And by the way, since we were on the Will Smith thing, I should add in that the Academy is having a meeting about this. The Board of Governors is going to meet and decide what will happen to Will Smith. You know who's on this?
Welcome to Earth.
You know who's on this Board of Governors? This is just to show you.
Please tell me it's Chris Rock.
No, wouldn't that be poetic justice? No, Whoopi Goldberg. Steven Spielberg. It's a real who's who of like beautiful people who have all made their own mistakes and never had to actually own up to anything. So they will be judging Will Smith. And it's weird though. Like I go online and I look at how people are feeling. A lot of people are team Will Smith, which I always thought violence was no good. In fact, I thought silence was violence, and now I'm finding out that actual violence isn't violence. It's just weird how things evolve.
It's problematic for these people who are pro-Will Smith because there's two things happening. One, there is violence. Two, there is toxic masculinity. I thought, and maybe you could say those are intertwined, I thought both of those were verboten. I thought they were bad things.
No, see, you don't... Here's your problem, Jared. Okay, you're not thinking about the exceptions. Toxic masculinity is bad unless you're defending Jada Pinkett Smith. And that's in writing, and you should know that. That's been written down
before. It's in the Constitution.
It's in, you know, the thing. Okay? And I don't want to explain the thing to you because it's kind of corny. I don't want to bother everyone with it on the air. But it's in the thing.
A liberty thing.
I want to add in something else here. Clarence Thomas has been just totally the focus of some unhinged liberals because of texts his wife Ginny sent to Mark Meadows, a Trump aide during, or a Trump top Trump staffer during the insurrection. I think he was chief of staff. Was that Mark Meadows?
Yes, he was White House chief of staff.
Okay, so she's sending texts to him about the election and whether or not, you know, she had her opinions on the election. She thought it was stolen. Shocker here. A lot of people thought that. And now the left thinks that Clarence Thomas should not only recuse himself, that maybe he should be impeached. We got to buy some gold pens because we have another impeachment. Get your popcorn. And of course, it's ridiculous. I don't even need to go into why it's ridiculous, but I will read you one little explanation here from the Federalist. Tristan Justice, friend of the show. I'm just going to read you the last paragraph. Not only are the attacks on Thomas purely political, they're hypocritical. Will Democrats calling on Justice Thomas to refrain from his official duties as a jurist similarly demand a probe into House Speaker Nancy Pelosi leveraging her position in Congress to rake in millions? Will journalists married to people in power recuse themselves from coverage on any issues their spouses conduct even minor work on? Probably not. It's all theater. But since we're on the topic of this theater, Clarence Thomas was also in the hospital recently. And a lot of conservatives, a lot of people were worried about him sending their prayers. And this is something that's unique to the left. Like, yeah, you could go on Twitter and find one or two rogue trolls who say horrible things when a Democrat gets sick. But it's not like blue check marks, you know? It's not serious people who have jobs and who have their picture on their avatar who are saying these vile things. That is something that you can expect from Democrats, though. When a Republican gets sick or when a Republican passes away, the ghoulishness of Democrats, of like high or well-known Democrats, never ceases to amaze. Like they just send it out. They don't even care. So there's this guy, Jonathan Perk, and I'll tell you what Jonathan Perk is. He's the director of race and equity at UCLA. And this was his tweet about Clarence Thomas. No one wants to openly admit that we all hope Clarence Thomas dies. Whatever you need to tell yourselves, this whole rule we're not to wish ill on people is silly. Uncle Thomas is a sexist token who's committed himself to making us all share in he and his treasonous wife's misery. Just wanted to add that in.
What's his title again?
I'm glad you asked. He is the, I'm sorry. Hold on here. Wait a second. Did I get that wrong? Jonathan had a personal experience. I'm reading his bio. Jonathan and his sister April co-host the Black End podcast. Since his time at UVA Law, Jonathan practiced law at a Philadelphia law firm where he advised and represented a wide range of private companies and institutions of higher education. After that, he joined the office of the general counsel at Harvard University. Okay, so that gives us...
Oh, a Harvard man.
Yes, yes, indeed. Oh, okay, yeah, so Jonathan Perkins, he serves as director of race and equity at UCLA. And that's his tweet.
Tolerance.
And that's okay. You know, that's okay.
Racism.
Because he is a Democrat. And that's how it works. Tony, you're next up on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Tony.
Good afternoon, Grace. Breaking news today, really, with Susan Collins, committing to voting for Jackson, for Supreme Court, really. And it's just, Grace, it never ceases to amaze me about these rhinos, the Romneys. Now you got Susan Collins. And, I don't know what's in it for them, Grace, but, from the great state of Maine, I mean, who in Maine, for the most part, would agree with, somebody of her record being on the Supreme Court? Like, what's in it for Susan Collins? I mean, how much longer is she going to last there? But, we need people that, love this country, real Republicans who are doing the best for the American people. Voting her into the Supreme Court, Grace, does not keep the American people safe. I don't know where it does. I mean, I can't find a silver lining in it, Grace. Can you? I mean,
Yeah, honestly. I'm not surprised, Tony, like you just said, I'm not surprised Susan Collins is going to vote for Ketanji Brown Jackson. I didn't think that anything was going to stop Ketanji Brown Jackson from being confirmed as a Supreme Court justice. With that said, I will give Susan Collins credit. She always gets, not a pass from me, but she gets credit from me for what she did with Brett Kavanaugh, because that was really a terrifying time for her and the threats she endured during that. But yeah, this is not a surprise. It doesn't change the makeup of the court and as far as Democrats and Republicans. But I think that the confirmation hearings, the Senate judiciary hearings, were very telling, because we learned that you can be a Supreme Court justice and not be able to define what a woman is. And that's okay in 2022. It's just like a nice test of where we're at. Today's poll question is brought to you by Kennedy Carpet. Kennedy Carpet is growing and hiring for many positions, including installers, carpet cleaners, water damage technicians, warehouse, and salespeople. Kennedy Carpet offers full benefits and more. Find out all they have to offer by calling 1-888-KENNEDY. That's 1-888-KENNEDY. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
If Republicans take over Congress in November, which investigation would you be the most excited to see? Hunter, Fauci, or January 6th?
I'm going to say Hunter.
Hunter is still in the lead at 53%, 30% for Fauci, and 17% for January 6th.
My friends at Eden Pure have brought back BOGO for 1 week only. BOGO ends Sunday, April 3rd. We love the Eden Pure Thunderstorm, Jared. And it's not just for allergies. It's also if you cook in your house, if you microwave something stinky in the office, you just turn this on and it purifies the air.
Yeah, I told this story. I was having a quote-unquote lentil loaf and not a nice steak the other night. And it's, you know, obviously, like you say, it smells good at first, but then about a half hour later, you're like, eek, don't need that. But you don't have to worry about that. You just plug in the Impure Thunderstorm, turn it on, and it starts ionizing the air, which those ions are what creates a super oxygen. And the super oxygen is what gets rid of those odors, whether it's in your basement, your car, your kitchen, wherever. It also gets rid of allergens and pollutants and even some viruses.
Yeah, and it's great for allergies, kitchen, pet, or tobacco smells. You need the Eden Pure Thunderstorm air purifier. No filters are needed, which is great. Take advantage of the Eden Pure Thunderstorm BOGO offer for this week only. That's buy one, get one. BOGO is extended until Sunday, April 3rd. This is only for my listeners, so go to EdenPureDeals.com and put in code GRACEBOGO. That's EdenPureDeals.com, code word GRACEBOGO. Just a quick reminder that shipping is free. We'll be right back with Howie Carr. This is The Grace Curley Show.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. Who's better than Grace Curley?
Nobody. Nobody. Nobody.
This is The Grace Curley Show.
Today's Car Crossover is brought to you by Fairway Financial. Preparation and planning is the key to your retirement future. Visit fairwayfinancial.net. Howie Carr, thank you so much for coming on the program.
Thanks for having me, Grace.
All right, Howie, I know you have a big show planned today. Give the listeners a little bit of a tease.
We're going to have a restaurant owner from the North End as well, Carla Gomes. She was at the press conference yesterday. And we're also going to have some stories about the latest example of Russian disinformation that has appeared about Hunter Biden's laptop. It appeared in the Washington Post this morning.
All right, and Howie, I have some late-breaking news for you, and I think it might make your heart feel like an alligator.
What is that?
Breaking. CNN Plus employees are bracing for layoffs, possibly as soon as May, amid projections of a lackluster sales of the new streaming channel. CNN employees say new streaming channel could be merged into larger Discovery Plus as early as May unless subscriptions pick up. This is via Fox Business.
There's no time for potato heads.
I can't understand what the problem is with the business plan. People don't want to watch free CNN, so why wouldn't they want to be able to pay money to not watch second string CNN?
It's a hell of a lot of journalism, Howie. That's all I can say on the matter.
That's the truth.
That's the truth. And, you know, it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate. I'm sure Chris... What's his
Wallace.
Name? Chris Wallace. I almost
go there.
So how Chris, soon they forget.
I know. That's the rule.
Can't you at least wait until he gets laid off before you forget his name?
Howie, that's the rule in showbiz. You know, people don't realize that. People can forget you very quickly.
They will never forget you till someone new comes along. And in Chris Wallace's case, no one knew even had to come along. They just forgot his name out of nothing.
It's so true. All right, everyone, go to gracecurlyshow.com. Click on store to get your Ginger Betty Easter basket. It's $25, but it's worth $50, so you're getting it for half off. And once Howie announces it on his program, there won't be any left. So go right now. We'll be back tomorrow for our Friday Junior Show. This is The Grace Curley Show.